Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Cilicia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their ministry. And when they had gone through the isles of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name was by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. And then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, a full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went away, seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Father, tonight we love you and we thank you for this night. We thank you to be able to gather in your house tonight and lift up the name of Jesus. Lord, tonight I pray as we get into this place, we realize the importance of being under the control of the Holy Ghost tonight. Father, I thank you tonight that we can be under the control of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, tonight I pray you move in a mighty way. I pray you search our hearts tonight, be with all the prayer requests, be with all the praise reports. I thank you tonight. Guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Let everything I say tonight be about you. Anything that I don't need to say, I ask you to take it in Jesus' name. I ask it tonight in Jesus' most holy, precious name. All of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Tonight as we come being under control of the Holy Ghost tonight, as a believer, we have the Holy Ghost living inside of us. In the Old Testament, when the Holy Spirit of God, it would come down on a believer, what it would do, it would rest on the outside of the believer. And when that Holy Spirit would rest on the outside, it would also depart from them for a time. But in the New Testament, after the day of Pentecost, after the Spirit of God came down there, I want you to know at that moment when a person gets saved now, the Holy Ghost does not come upon them, but the Holy Spirit comes inside them, it comes in them, and it lives inside of a believer tonight. As a believer, we have the Holy Ghost living inside of us, and He will lead us if we allow Him. But if the truth be told, I wrote this down, but if the truth be told, we all that are in this building right now, if the truth be told, we all are guilty from time to time of two things before we get into the text. Every person that's under the sound of my voice, at some time after you become a believer, you're guilty of these two things, or I have been in my life. And if you be honest tonight, you've probably been guilty as well. Number one tonight, there's two things tonight that we want to make sure that we do not do with the Holy Ghost tonight. Number one, I have been guilty, and if you be honest, you probably have too, of grieving the Holy Ghost. There's two things that will affect the Holy Ghost that is in your life. One tonight is grieving the Holy Ghost. You say, preacher, what is grieving the Holy Ghost? Here, Paul and Barnabas, they did not grieve the Holy Ghost, but they accepted the Holy Ghost to lead them. Preacher, what is grieving the Holy Ghost? That is by something we have done that is not lined up with the will of God for our life. That is grieving the Holy Ghost when we've done something that is not lined up with the will of God in our life. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians tonight, and I want to show you this, talking about the Holy Ghost. If you'll turn with me to the book of Ephesians tonight, chapter number 4 and verse number 30 tonight, talking about grieving the Holy Ghost tonight. And that would be this, the grieving the Holy Ghost by something we have done that's not of God. And the Bible says tonight in Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 30 tonight, the Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Did you know tonight that as a believer tonight, you can grieve that Holy Ghost tonight in your life? The greatest friend you'll ever have this side of eternity is the Holy Ghost of heaven. You say, well, the greatest friend I got is Jesus. Friends, tonight, the greatest friend you you got is the Holy Ghost on this side. He said, I must go that He should come. When Jesus went and ascended to the Father, He sent that Holy Ghost to heaven, and He is that comforter tonight. You say, preacher, what will He do in my life? Look at this. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. He says that Holy Ghost seals us tonight. You say, but this is it. But as we see in the text here tonight, and we get here, Barnabas and Paul was under control. But tonight, you say, preacher, what allows me not to be under control of the Holy Ghost? What gives me that grievous spirit tonight to grieve the Holy Ghost? Look in Ephesians 4:31. Here is what will grieve the Holy Ghost in a believer's life. Here's what will grieve the Holy Ghost inside of a local body church. If salvation ceases inside of a local body church, if baptism ceases inside of a local body church, if people quit moving to the altar in a local body church, you can look for these things and they'll be somewhere amongst the believers. They won't be in the pews. They won't be in the sheetrock. They won't be in the lights. They won't be in the fancy screens. Anytime there's something comes and the Holy Ghost is grieved, this microphone don't grieve the Holy Ghost. The speakers don't grieve it. It is the children of God that grieves the Holy Ghost. And when you and I get to a place in our life, look in verse number 31, this is what will grieve the Holy Ghost. Let all bitterness. Have you ever been bitter at somebody? Have you ever just been caught up in the gall of bitterness? You know what you'll do? You'll shun a shoulder. You'll turn a cold cheek. You'll do some of these things. He said, let all bitterness and wrath. Have you ever had wrath? Mad at somebody, angry at somebody, and you was bitter toward them, and you had wrath. That should not be in a local body church. He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger. Friends, tonight, if there's one thing tonight, as we get here, that Paul and Barnabas did not have, they was not bitter. Oh, Paul knew it was going to cost him his life, but he was not bitter. Oh, Paul knew they was going to talk about him, but he was not bitter. He knew they was going to be angry at him, but he was not bitter. And tonight he said, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. He said tonight that if you're going to quench the Holy Spirit in your life tonight, you be careful that a root of bitterness does not come forth. Make sure there's nobody in your family that you're bitter at. Make sure there's nobody in your family that you're angry with. You say, preacher, what does that got to do? If you're bitter at somebody or you're angry at somebody, you'll lay down and go to bed with them at night. They'll eat supper with you at night. They'll get up and drink coffee with you every morning of your life. Every day you sit down for lunch, you may sit down with 30 men at a group table. Hey, but that same individual that you're angry at, they'll sit down and they'll have dinner with you every day because it'll be in your mind, your heart, and in your soul. He says, so do not grieve the Holy Spirit. He said, preacher, what must I do? Number one, you must not grieve the Holy Spirit if we're going to be controlled by the Spirit of God. But number two tonight, before we get into the message, I wanted to get this out of there. You must not grieve the Holy Ghost, and you must not quench the Holy Ghost. There's difference in grieving and quenching. You said, what do you mean, preacher? Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 19. I've been in services just like this, and the Spirit of God be popping all around. I've been in revival services, and the Spirit of God be everywhere, and people be moving, and people be getting saved, and God be moving in people's life and delivering them of all kind of diseases. And one old person in the gall of bitterness or caught up in anger or clamor or malice, you know what they'll do? They'll quench that Spirit of God. Not when grieving wasn't good enough, they'll quench it. Look at this tonight in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. As I study this, I just know I don't want to do this in my life. He says this in verse 19, quench not the Spirit. Quench not that Spirit in your life. You say, preacher, quenching the Spirit, well, what would that be like? That'd be like you taking a fire extinguisher out of that back wall and somebody that's hooping and hollering and they're loving Jesus. You just might as well take it, Brother Boyd Merchant. Down there, I've been preaching in this Baptist church, and I've seen that man of God down on his knees while I'm preaching, thus saith the Word of God. He'd be down there in the middle of that aisle with his hands up praising God. It'd be like somebody walking back there, getting that fire extinguisher out and just hosing him down, telling him to settle down, telling him to calm down. You ain't never been to a football game and told anybody they need to calm down. You ain't never been to one and told them settle down. You're getting too excited. You know what? When we come to the house of God, We must not never extinguish a man or a woman when they get excited about the power of God on their life. He said in the Thessalonica, he said, quench not that spirit. That would be extinguishing the spirit of God. When you quench it, extinguishing it or putting a damper on it. You might as well, if you got that old kind of spirit, bring you an old wet coat. And when somebody gets shouting, get ripped left in their hands up, praising God, just go over there and drip that coat right over their head and cool them down, because that's what it does when our spirit is not lined up with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Hey, I've been in them services. I've been in them, man, getting a revival service and the spirit be breaking loose. You get 4 days in and some old deacon get sideways back there mad, upset because people are getting saved. And you know what he'll do when he couldn't grieve the Holy Spirit? He'll quench that Holy Spirit in that service. Amen? He said, preacher, you crazy. I'll never forget in my whole entire life. I was preaching one time at a church. I won't call word out, but you're talking about trying to damper it and trying to quench it. Man, we got into service and God started moving and people started getting saved. There's about 10 people got saved in about 3 days. And on Wednesday night, we was going to baptize them individuals that pastor was. And that whole baptistry had nothing but cobwebs in it. I mean, they hadn't baptized nobody in years. Can I get a witness? They hadn't nobody been in that water in years. That pastor had never baptized nobody in that church. And when I went in on Wednesday night, I got looking for the preacher and I couldn't find him. And I looked high and I looked low and I couldn't find him nowhere. And all of a sudden he come out like a little old whoop pup. He'd been in there with his deacons and he done riled him up one side and down the other and told him that preacher you got preaching our revival, hey, you need to calm him down. You need to quieten him down. Hey, you can't get saved unless it's on Sunday. Hey, I'd say every one of them deacons need to be born again, washed in the blood of Jesus. If you think only God can save you on a Sunday, you've messed up. Amen. He can save you any day of your life. And he said they wanted to bring you in and they wanted to set you down before the service and they wanted to talk with you. I said they may have wanted to talk with me, but they didn't want to set me down. Amen. Friends, you listen to me tonight. It's that Spirit of God. And when it gets on a man or woman, it ain't nothing about me. It ain't nothing about you. It's about the Holy Ghost having freedom and seed the Holy Spirit. And we must not quench the Holy Spirit. When you quench it, number one, you'll extinguish it. Number two, you'll put a damper on the service. But number three, you'll hold somebody back. You'll hold somebody back. Have you ever went to church and then you say, oh Lord, I can't believe so-and-so is there. You know what I'm saying? I can't believe so-and-so attends that or this or that. Hey, that puts a damper on that service. But let me give you this tonight, and I'll go on. I know I've done been rambling a little bit, but I thank God for being under control of the Holy Ghost. Number one tonight, you say, okay, now I'm under the control. I'm not going to quench it no more, and I am not going to grieve it no more. What must I do? What must I do when I get under the control of the Holy Ghost? What will it do in my life? Look with me in verse number 4 and 5 tonight, and you write this down if you're taking notes. When you get under the control of the Holy Ghost, number one, the Holy Ghost will guide your life. It will. When you don't grieve it, and you're not quenching it, you don't care what nobody thinks, you're being led by the Spirit of God, it will have a complete guidance on your life. And that means it'll lead the way. The Holy Ghost will lead the way. There'll be no confusion. There'll be no excuses. You'll know exactly what to do. Look in verse number 5. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. What made them move? The Holy Ghost made them move. What made them get up from where they was at and do what God had called them to do? It was the Holy Ghost. They didn't try to quench it. They didn't try to grieve it. They was guided by the Holy Ghost. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Sicilia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their ministry. You said, preacher, what does that mean when the Holy Ghost guides me? It means this tonight. When they preached the word, they preached in the power of the Holy Ghost. Tonight, when you go to your workplace, or tomorrow when you get up and you go, and the Holy Spirit prompts you to witness to somebody, and that's not you. When you want to witness to somebody, that's the Holy Ghost rising up inside of you. He's going to give you power to go and spread the gospel. He's going to give you a purpose to go and spread that gospel. But His promise is right there with you tonight to guide you and to lead you. You say, well, I think Jesus is who leads me. I think it's God who leads me. Can I say to you tonight, it is the Holy Ghost that leads you. That's how it's set up. All three in one. Amen. He prompts the Holy Ghost in your life. He's living inside of you and He's living inside of me. You said, preacher, are you sure He's our God? Are you sure I can trust Him? I can't see Him, but can I trust Him? Can I say to you tonight, if you're saved, you had to trust Him? If you got saved without the Holy Ghost, you're lost. What? Oh, yeah. The Bible says, except the man be drawn. You ever had somebody in your life you wanted them to be saved so bad? I mean, somebody in your family, you want them to be saved so bad. And you say, man, I don't know what to do. Ain't nothing you can do but pray. Unless the Spirit of God draws, they can't be. So you just keep praying. Because here's the thing. If you could get them saved, what would you do? You'd go get them saved, right? You go get them saved. You change them. You'd want them to come know Christ. But what do? You pray, you preach, you proclaim the gospel. You tell them how good God is, how His mercy and His grace, how He'll guide you. Just turn your life over to Him. And all you do is pray for that Holy Ghost to pull on that person's heart. He is that guy tonight. Turn with me to John chapter number 16 and verse number 13 tonight, that the Holy Ghost is our guide tonight. He'll guide you exactly where you need to go. He'll lead you in the right way. Look with me tonight. In John chapter number 16, I believe it is, in verse number 13 tonight, I want to show you this in the text tonight. John chapter number 16 and verse number 13 tonight. I want to show you this. Man, this is what Jesus said written in red tonight. John 16, 13. The Bible says, howbeit when He, that tells me that the Holy Ghost is a person, right? It's not an it. He is a person. Howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, what will He do? He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Tonight, I see in our text tonight, number one, that the Holy Ghost, it will guide your life. It'll guide your life just as it did Paul and Barnabas, exactly where you need to be every time of your life. Tonight, as we got to church, we always park on this corner. And we was coming across the river bridges. I told Brandy, I said, I'm not going to park there tonight. I'm going to park in the parking lot. She said, why are you parking out there? I said, I don't know why I'm parking out there, but God told me to park out there. I know y'all think I'm crazy, and that's okay. That's okay. Hey, I've always been a little crazy. Amen? But I want to be under control of the Holy Ghost. And I said, I don't know why we need to park out there, but we don't need to park over there. She said, why? I said, I don't know why. Well, you're going to look goofy. I said, okay. I mean, I had on them sunshades. You didn't think, I mean, that is goofy, amen? So we parked out there, and we got out of the truck and got made about three steps. And somebody said, hey, man, I've been looking for you. I got to tell you what God done this week. If we would have been back there, we would have never seen the one in the parking lot. We'd have never crossed paths. It took forever to cross paths tonight. But being under the control of the Holy Ghost. You say, that's so simple and that's so easy. That's how easy it is. That's how easy it is tonight. For Him to guide your life. When it don't make sense, you say, I don't know about this. Just let Him guide you. Let him rule you. But you got to understand His voice. You got to know when He talks to you. You got to understand tonight that He's going to talk to you. He's going to prompt you. And He's going to guide you in the way that you should go. Number one, I see that the Holy Ghost guides your life. But number two in the text, in verse 6 and 7, I see the Holy Ghost will guard your life. If you'll let Him guide you, He'll guard you. Is that not true? Now, if you're not going to let Him guide you, He's not going to be your guard. If you're going to walk on your own, you say, I got this, you're going to get the whole blunt load. You're fixing to get it, buddy. But if you'll get under His subjection, get under where He's at and say, hey, Holy Ghost, I'm yours. I've been born again, and Jesus told me that you're going to guide me, you're going to lead me, I want you to guide me, and I want you to guard me. But if you won't let Him guide you, you're going to make some steps. The guard's not going to be there. You can pray a hedge of protection all you want to, but if you're not letting Him guide you, you ain't got no guard on you. Get out of His will and see what happens. You ever been spanked by being out of the will of God? Let's look here at verse 6 and verse 7. And when they had gone through the isle unto Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer. Huh? He is leading them to a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. Well, why would the Holy Ghost lead me there? Which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, that was for his interpretation tonight, look what, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, a fool. Look here, I want to stop right here. Tonight, the Holy Ghost will guard your life, number one, against false prophets. He will bring out false prophets in your life. He'll bring out somebody that's false, not right, not living right, not doing right. False prophets, teaching one way, living another way, doing one thing, doing a false prophet, not preaching the truth of the Word of God tonight. Friends, they're amongst us tonight. They're in the world we live in. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Let me give you this. Number one, it'll guard you from false prophets. But it'll guard you from false paths. The path that you get on tonight, you make sure you let the Holy Spirit lead you down that path. It'll get you away from false prophets, and it'll get you away from false paths. Let me give you this. Instead of full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, will thou not cease? Here it is. Here's that on the right path. He said, will you not quit trying to pervert the right ways of the Lord? He said, here you are saying that you are a prophet, and you're teaching us the wrong way. You're leading us the wrong path. And what guided them and led them in the right path? The Holy Ghost. It guided them, and now it guards them. False prophets, it'll guard you against. It'll let you know what's real. False paths, it'll guard you against. But in verse 10, I want to give you this. It'll also, the Holy Ghost will guard you against false professions. Huh? Oh, yeah. It'll make sure that you are not caught up with false prophets leading you the wrong way. It'll make sure that they don't put you on the wrong path. And the Holy Spirit of God tonight will make sure that you've not made a false profession in your life, that you know Jesus and deep down you don't know Him. Amen. Tonight you can't go on, well, I think I am. You can't go tonight on, I feel like I am. There's going to be days you ain't going to feel saved. If you've not felt that yet, get ready, it's coming. False prophets tells you this. False prophets tells you this. Live any way you want to. Heaven's going to be your home. Don't you worry about it, son. You're going to have something in your driveway. Your bank account's going to be full. Just love Jesus. Live it up. Have a party. Everything's good. Hell be your home. That's a false prophet. The Bible says repent. Be born again. Washed in the blood of Jesus. False paths. Don't get on that false path that you're going the wrong way. But the false profession is this. To say I know I'm saved, but really I know I'm not saved. I don't go on my feelings, right? I don't go on what I feel. I go on what the Holy Ghost teaches me in the Word of God. You say, preacher, how do you know you're saved? I've done everything the Bible told me to do. There's nothing else I can do. From cover to... Do I live it? No, I don't live it. I try. Sometimes I get in the flesh, just like you do. But I've done everything it said for me to do. Repent, turn. Call on the name of Jesus. He'll save your soul from the devil's hand. I called on His name. He saved my soul. Heaven's my home. Not some preacher and what he told me, but what the Bible said. And the Holy Spirit is the one that gives you that in your life. He gives you that comfort. He gives you that control. When you let Him have that control of your life tonight. Tonight, you know how many people are waiting on eternity to see if they're going to make it to heaven? Well, I hope when I die, I make it. I don't want to live that way, do you? I want to know tonight when I study that Bible tonight that I know that I have a home in heaven. Paul and Barnabas, when they got sent, they knew what God had called them to do and they were sent. You say, how do you know that somebody, bar Jesus, how do you know, be careful of false professions? Bar that sorcerer, bar Jesus. Bar Jesus. You see the name in the Bible, bar Jesus. That means like Jesus. Like Jesus. But he was false. What good is it for me to call myself a Christian if I don't live like one? What have I profited? What is it good for me to tell you I'm saved but I live like the devil? What good is that? When Paul got saved, he changed. There's a change. Oh, Barnabas, man, he come alive when he met Jesus. You can't stay the same when you meet the Savior. When you get saved and the Holy Ghost takes control, number one, He's going to guide you where you need to go. He'll never guide you in the wrong place. He'll never guide you to a honky-tonk. He'll never guide you down the road you ought not go to. He'll always guide you in the right path. I tell the young couples all the time when they're fixing to get married, I said, nobody will ever get a divorce if both people are lined up with the Word of God. If both people, both the male and female, if both of them is lined up with the Word of God and both of them love Jesus Christ the way they should, there'll never be a divorce in that family. Why? Why? Because it can't be. There's unity. There is unity there. They're doing what they're supposed to. They're loving the Lord. Tonight, as a child of God tonight, I must love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength tonight. And when I do that tonight, I let the Holy Ghost have control of me. Number one, He's going to guide me, but He's going to guard me. Look at this tonight where He said that with Bar-Jesus tonight. I don't know where that come in there at, but that's just what God laid on my heart. Look at this. He says this tonight. He said, so the son of Jesus, Bar-Jesus, but he wasn't. Saying I'm a Christian is useless if I don't live like one. Number one, tonight I see that the Holy Ghost will guide you. I see that the Holy Ghost will guard you. And third and lastly tonight, I see the Holy Ghost will grow you. This week, I was at the store. Talking about growing, I was at the store. Seen a man I knew. Hadn't seen him in a long time. I said, man, what's going on? He said, not much. What do you know? I said, man, I don't know nothing. Just loving Jesus. He said, me too, brother. And we just carried on there. And went to leave from where he's at. And he said, man, I got something I got to give you. I got something I got to give you. And I said, did I loan you $500 one time? He's another preacher. I just kidding. I said, did I loan you $500 one time? He said, no, you ain't loan me no money. I said, you ever seen a preacher had $500 to lend? I said, no, I ain't. He reached down in his pocket and he gave me this. He gave me that. Y'all see that little vial? Y'all see that? That's little land. I'm going to pass it around. I'm going to start, Brother Austin. Y'all pass it around. And that's what I was when I started out as Christ Jesus. When I started out being saved, Christ Jesus coming to my life, that's right there is exactly what I was. He gave me that. He had no clue I was going to preach tonight. But when Jesus come into me and I started living for Christ, that's exactly how much faith I had. I want you to look at that tonight and you tell me what's in that. You said, preacher, I just ain't got. I'm saved, but I just ain't. You got to grow in it, son. You're just not going to get saved and start out wide open. You ain't going to do that. You got to grow in it. Well, how am I going to grow? I have read the Bible from one cover to the other. You can read the Bible, you can memorize every scripture in there and still be lost. You memorize every scripture in there and not be led by the Holy Ghost and you'll be just as lost as a goose. Saved, but just out there not knowing where to go. It's when you get under the control of the Holy Ghost in your life, He guides you where to go, He guards you, and He grows you. If you want to grow with Christ Jesus tonight, it will be because of the Holy Ghost tonight grows you in your life. You say, preacher, I don't know. You just don't listen to me tonight. He'll grow you. Let me show you this as y'all pass that around. Let me show you this tonight. You're talking about growing. When Jesus come into my life, how He grows you by the Holy Ghost tonight. My little boy, he's 15 months. He sucks a passy right now. When he's 15 years old, you know how nasty that'd be to him have passy in his mouth? You know? But you know how many Christians has been saved 15 years and they still got the same passy in their mouth? They still don't know no more than they did. They don't care. They could care less. That'd be sad, wouldn't it? Look at this in verse number 12. Then the deputy, the one the sorcerer tried not to get to hear the Spirit of God. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed. Believed being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. The Holy Ghost will grow you. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Peter tonight. 2 Peter, I want to show you this. The Holy Ghost will grow you tonight. He'll guide you, He'll guard you, and He'll grow you. If you won't quench Him, and if you will not grieve Him, He'll guide you, He'll guard you, and He'll grow you. 2 Peter, chapter number 3. In verse number 18, what's He going to grow me in, preacher? But grow in grace. Grow in grace and in the knowledge. Grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I cannot grow the way I need to grow if I'm not under the control of the Holy Spirit. Grow, he said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory. When you let the Holy Spirit guide you and guard you and grow you, it'll give Him glory. both now and forever. He said, preacher, how am I going to grow? Man, I have read the Bible. I've done everything. How am I going to grow? Turn with me, if you will, to Luke 17:6. This is talking about offenses that come. But I want to show you what you got to have tonight. The Bible says in Luke 17:6, and the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. Tonight, can I share with you this? If you say, preacher, I want the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me. I want Him to guard my family, guard my life, and I want Him to grow me. What is it going to take? I'm going to say to you tonight, don't you grieve Him, don't you quench Him. And you have the faith of a mustard seed. Do y'all know what was in that little old vial? For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, but it is the gift of God. Do you know how much faith it took you to be saved? That grain of mustard seed. You said, oh no, I had a big old... No, you didn't. No. No, the Holy Spirit does the saving. The Holy Spirit starts drawing that person to Christ Jesus. Starts drawing them in and gets you right there. And then you have that free will right then in your life to accept Him or reject Him. When you get to the point you're wanting to accept Christ, there is a war in your mind like you ain't never seen. Somebody's going to know I'm going to walk the aisle. I'm going to have to change. Everybody's going to know something's wrong. It takes that little bitty faith to step. The Holy Spirit's got you drawn there. He's got you pulled right in. And all it takes at that moment in your life is that little bit of faith, that of a mustard seed, to say, Lord, I believe that You are. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on that cross for my sin. I believe You was buried, rose again the third day. Lord, I am a sinner and I believe You're the Savior. Come into my life and save me. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, preacher, what's going to happen then? The Holy Spirit's going to take complete control of your life if you'll allow Him to. And He is going to guide you in places that you shouldn't. No, don't go there no more. Go over here. Go over here. And then when you do get over here and you're walking and you think everything's coming against you, He's going to put a guard up. Today, we was pulling out. 2 days ago, we was pulling out. I don't know what's wrong with my vision here lately, but anyway. And I pulled out and she started screaming. I just whipped it back over, pulled right out in front of the truck. I don't know how we didn't just, it wouldn't have been touching paint. It had been totaled. She said, what's wrong with you? I said, I don't know. She said, you like the guy hit. She said, you know what kept us from getting hit? I said, the Holy Ghost. She said, no, it was me screaming, watch out. But is that not what He does in your life? Watch out, don't go that way. Don't go or go that way. I'm guiding you, I'm guarding you, and I'm growing you. And listen to me, when He's guided you and He's guarded you, and you've grown up, you'll listen to Him more often. Once you see Him move one time in your life, you'll start relying on Him more and more and more and more. My mom's laying over there at the hospital. I had every excuse in the world to stay over there with her tonight and not come here. But when I was over there and I prayed with her, the Holy Ghost of heaven, sweet Holy Ghost, said everything's going to be all right. So, preacher, you believe that? And bet my soul on it. Everything's going to be all right. If He drawed me to Jesus, He's going to keep me with Jesus. If you remember Ephesians 4:30, He said this, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. That same one's got you sealed is the same one trying to guide you, guard you, and grow you. Have you ever had somebody on your heart and you don't know why it was put there and you knew to call them, you knew to text them, you knew to do something and you didn't do it and their name come up again and again? That's not your conscience. That's the Holy Spirit. Tonight, I pray as every believer in this room be under the control of of the Holy Ghost. Father, I love you and I thank you for this night. I thank you for your presence, your power. Boy, I thank you, Father God, for the blood. I thank you that when Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father, right where you're at, Lord, I thank you that you didn't leave us alone, but you sent a helper. You sent a healer. You sent somebody, the Holy Ghost, to guide our life, to help us, to guard us from the attacks of Satan when he comes our way, and to grow us. Father, I pray tonight, whoever's struggling with letting you have complete control, I pray tonight that they just say, I'm tired of running this. Holy Spirit, you take control. Father, we just give you all the praise and the honor and the glory in this place tonight because you're King. And Lord, I thank you, Father, for there's a control in our life that will take complete control. Bless this service tonight. Watch over us. In Jesus' holy, precious name, all of God's people say, amen. Amen. Have a good week.